Recordings have started.
Thanks, Christine. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 24th of April, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants. As a reminder to all participants also, if you'll please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, it is my pleasure to turn the meeting over to Cheryl Langdon-Orr.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Michelle. As I said, Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the record, and we're going to start this meeting with me actually blind because I have not been able to get into the WebEx room yet, but that isn't going to hold us back any longer than now. The first thing we're going to do is do a very quick agenda review. Steve and staff sent out 3 days ago now the agenda for today's call. It's a very lean agenda, but similar to last week's. We'll be reviewing our agenda, which is roll call and SOIs. We're about to get onto that now. The review of the initial report will be continuing, and then a piece of any other business. We recognise that there are a number of challenging and technical difficulties that some of us, me included, are having with this new tool. When we start our meeting, we will just do our best we can with what the material we've got to work with. Under any other business, however, I would like to take a moment to update you all on what is likely to happen with the tools we use in the near future. So staff can note that as a piece of AOB if we can make sure that we do bring our work track and plenary members up to date on what's going to be going on with Adobe Connect, et cetera, in the near future. That would be terrific. I don't know which of you want to take that. With that, I want to, first of all, ask, is there anyone who would like to update their statement of interest? Not hearing anyone. I'm now going to ask, and I should have done this in reverse order, is there anyone who is only on audio? If you are only on the phone bridge, could you let us know now?
Yeah, Kavu is in all the bridge only. I cannot be connected, unfortunately. I cannot be connected. This system doesn't work. This system should be stopped.
Thank you, Caboose, and we'll come back to the stopping of this system, as I said, under any other business. But if you just say your name at any time, we will put you in the queue at the appropriate time. I was aware that you were, in fact, in the WebEx room earlier on, so I'm sorry that it's failed for you. Anybody else who's just on phone bridge only?
Yeah, that's myself, Christopher.
Okay, Christopher's name goes to you. If you just say your name or hand up, Christopher, that would be fine. We'll manage. Right, with that, is there anybody who wishes to add anything under any other business? Not hearing anybody there. And do pardon my voice. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Jim Prendergast for the record. I put it in chat. You may not see. Oh, you're not online. Could we discuss the schedule for this group? The reason I raise it is because I saw a few calendar items today for meetings of this group going into, I believe, early to mid-May, and I was under the impression that the plenary meetings would be taking a hiatus while the initial report was out for public comment. So if you could just clarify that and timing, that'd be very helpful. Thank you.
Certainly, we'll make that as a point under any other business, and if I eventually get into the WebEx room, I'm sure I'll see that in chat, Jim. Thanks for that. I'm sure if I'm in, I have another overlapping call, if by chance I'm totally occupied with that at the time, Jeff will be able to pick that one up as well. So we'll make sure we cover that off. Okay, with that, is there any other comments or suggestions for agenda? Hopefully not. I'm now 86% loaded in the room. I'll eventually join you. With that, I just want to draw your attention to the rest of the email, which did state that what we will be looking with today's item 3 of the agenda, which is the continuation, the review of the initial report, that we will be looking at what is section 1.4, the pre-launch activities. And I am hopeful that that is something we will have loaded up in the shared screen shortly. With 1.4, I wanted to also thank Anne in particular for her contribution to the text edits here, which is exactly what we asked you all to do. She has contributed earlier today some suggested changes text in 1.4.1 section F, so we'll make sure we pick that up for discussion when we get to there, and also section 1.4.1 G. Now, this is one of those situations where the proposed change to the word none, and you will still find, pardon me, none or no in some of the sections. We did discuss this last week. I want to thank Anne for her specific text in this case. But do remember, we did agree that we will go through and make global changes to ensure that we have more than just the word none or no in any of those sections in the final document. But thanks, Anne, for that, and we'll make sure we come back to you in those two sections. You will also note, as Steve pointed out to you in the email, at the front end, which is what you're looking at now, we've included the overall report organisation. In other words, the numeric listing of the various overarching and other issues, as well as where they are in WorkTrack, what WorkTrack has been dealing with them. So to that end, we're hopeful that by listing this full section of 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, etc., before the 1.4, we're not confusing you, but we're helping you to put the 1.4 section, which is all about pre-launch activities, into some context. Is there anyone who has any questions about that at this stage? Not seeing anybody, and I'm hoping that I will be seeing hands more easily. I'm assuming that I've been popped back up for being a panellist, and I should be able to see your hands. If not, staff will make that magic happen. And yes, we hope that by putting in the WorkTrack references, that will also help not only us, but the reader when we publish this to be able to manage it as well. So to that extent, if we can now move down, another one of the frustrations with the WebEx tool, can someone move to the next page? Not sure whose screen we're sharing at the moment. Okay, it might be my very slow internet here as well. After that section, the pre-launch activities, the deliberations and recommendations for pre-launch activities is what we will be looking at. If I can get you to scroll all the way through, I'm assuming that people will be able to read their way through this reference set, and I'd like to go to page 4 of what was sent out, which is the recommendations, deliberations and recommendations, pre-launch activities. No, Cahoos, my voice is not distorted. That is my voice at the moment. I feel, Cahoos, like I am speaking through razor blades. So what I'm hoping will happen is that I will stop talking now, and you will all start talking as we go into the actual work that we need to discuss. So at this point, we are looking at a section at 1.4.1, which is, if you remember the template, where we review what was happening in the applicant guidebook in the 2012 round. And I really do have to take a sip of water now. So can I know Jeff is, it's some unearthly hour in London where he is. Steve, can I get you to talk us through this while I try and make my voice actually audible. Thank you.
Sorry.
Sure.
Does everybody hear a beeping?
Yes, we do.
One moment. I'm trying to
that is a beeping.
Line.
Can we please find that? Thank you. Okay, so while Cheryl takes a little bit of a break, as Cheryl was saying, the first section, 1.4.1, deals with just the nature of using the guidebook as our what was referred to in the GNSO's policies as a request for proposals. So there was no other than a statement by the GNSO to have a request for proposals, there was not really too much guidance given by the GNSO back in 2007-2008. There was a statement also, just as a reminder, that it included schedule information for subsequent rounds to occur within 1 year. Other than that, if we could just turn the page. Great. I'm still hearing a lot of background noise. So is there a way to... It's definitely not from here. Okay. So if you look at the recommendations that we have from these discussions that occurred in Work Track 1, the working group generally believes that or generally agreed that an applicant guidebook of some form should continue to be utilized in future waves of applications, but that we wanted to make it more user-friendly. We generally agreed on a number of specific implementation-oriented changes to enhance the user experience, and some of that's described in number three, which talks about making it easier for non-native English speakers and those that are less familiar with the ICANN environment. And part of that includes less of a focus on historical context, less focus on the policy and how we got there, but more on focused as like a user guide and step-by-step instructions. Some had phrased it as a choose-your-own-adventure methodology within that work track. And also that would include things like a table of contents, an index, making it online in HTML so you can actually now, or maybe not HTML, but make it online so that you can navigate much more easily, and having a basically tags throughout the text so that users can search. Just looking to see if there's anyone in the queue. There's no one at this point. And I'm sorry, I missed the last recommendation, which says that any agreements, including terms of use for accessing the system, need to be finalized before the next round starts, and they should be provided with enough notice so that they can be reviewed by appropriate legal terms and conditions. I'm sorry, reviewed by appropriate lawyers or anyone else for these organizations prior to the round beginning. So it's very practical implementation type advice, nothing too out of the normal here and nothing too, I believe, controversial. But is there anyone that's got any questions, comments, concerns up until this part? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone.
Hey, Jeff, this is Steve. You have a couple hands, actually. You have Christopher Wilkinson and then Caboose.
Oh, I apologize. I am not seeing that up on the interesting. Okay, cool. Christopher, please.
Can someone unmute me?
We can hear you, Christopher.
Okay, thank you. I still can't unmute on the screen. Well, first of all, I think this is an excellent report and a good chapter, and it's beautifully written. At this stage on page 5, I would just draw attention to the bullets, and particularly the 5th and 6th and 7th bullets. I think they're very important, and I support them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Christopher. Cavus, I have next.
Yes, do you hear me, please?
Yes, I do.
Yes, last time we made some suggestions. For instance, we mentioned that there are some distortion. If somebody is doing something, I don't know, eating or what? I don't understand this. What is it? There is a distortion. Please.
Cavus, we can hear you, show off the record. We can hear you perfectly clearly, so please continue if you can.
Yeah. Please kindly tell the people, somebody to do something which is not on this phone call, doing something else, chewing something or drinking something or eating something or making some noise on the phone. So please, I cannot understand this. Please kindly, I said that previous meeting, I have asked that whenever you refer to the outcome of any subgroup or track group or workshop, please give the indication where it has come from, and we have confirmation that this is the summary of the discussion of that group. We don't know whether it has been narrated, whether something has been paraphrased, whether something has been added or not. This was not taken into account. I hope I'm clear. Thank you.
Bruce, this is Jeff. So we sent out internally to the working group with the table of contents. It has a reference to the applicable group that was discussing this. And this was discussed within Work Track 1. Were you saying that there should be a reference in the actual initial report itself of who was discussing it? Or I'm just a little unclear. Can you just clarify, please?
Yeah. I suggested that at least for the time being, when we have this category of group, whether it is preliminary or whether it is whatever it is, the name is not the final, we should at least know the origin and the source of the material. And then we have reference saying that Work Track 1, Work Track 4, Work Track 5. And then we need to have agreement that this is the outcome. Because I see people, they want to change something instead of saying that there is no consensus, saying that the meeting was agreed or the majority or whatever, the active members. These are not the words that I think we should have. So I said kindly please reference to the source and confirmation that it is exactly narrated, exactly quoted as it was decided without adding anything, unless we are allowed at this meeting to make further comment or further amendment. I understood we are not allowed to do that. Thank you. We're just assembling the things and to see the assemblage and to see the series of the events, but not adding anything from us. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Cavus. So in the document that's up on the screen now, you can see that this section 1.4.1, along with the other sections of 1.4, comes from Work Track 1. They come from discussions that took place within that work track. As you know, work tracks met every other week, in some cases weekly, and so it came from the notes and from discussions and from the community comment responses that we got back. But I see Cheryl's got her hand up, so I'm going to go to Cheryl.
Thank you, Jeff. Cheryl, for the record, and hopefully my voice is clear enough for Cavus to hear me without distortion now. I apologize to everybody if my croaky voice is a problem. I just can't do a damn thing about it. Cavus, I think at this stage it would be best if you and others assumed, based on The list that you can see on screen now, assuming you're now in the WebEx room, that if it says work track one against, for example, what we're talking about now, 1.4.1, then what you are reading is either specific quote from notes taken or a paraphrasing from the work that that work track has completed to date. Remembering, of course, that we have not taken any consensus calls in any of these matters as yet, and that when we take a consensus call, there will be a specific form of language, and at that point, that is the form of language we will be agreeing to. Obviously, after that, we cannot make changes without making that tracking of changes very clear and for a particular purpose. But at this stage, we're at the drafting point where if you just assume that unless it states that it is a recommendation and an outcome that the plenary or the full working group has agreed to, that this is simply a paraphrasing or text that best reflects the outcomes of the particular work track. I hope that helps. Going back on mute.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. I'm going to turn it over to one of the Work Track 1 co-leaders, Krista Taylor, because Krista's got a comment. So please, Krista.
Thanks, Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can.
Great, thanks. I think it's Krista Taylor for the record. I think a different perspective might help. So as one of the Work Track co-leaders for Work Track 1, our process is pretty thorough, and just to explain a little bit is that we took all of the discussions that we had over the last year and a half on all the topics in Work Track 1. We then summarized them. We then produced a document. We then reviewed it, and we had questions. We then rotated through this process numerous times, and then we shared a document since, I think, December, hoping that if we were incorrect on anything, that people would correct us to make sure it was an accurate reflection of what the work track was thinking and our discussions to date. And then from there, we took all of that and rolled it into this. And through that process, there's been 3 or 4 or 5 iterations of it. Everyone has worked really hard to try to make it as accurate as possible. And even with that, even with our best efforts, there are, you know, a couple little items that I came across going, well, we discussed this a year and a half ago. We said we described something as X or Y. Did we mean this or did we mean that? And we would revert back to the record. We'd go through it again and try to figure it out. And if we don't know, then, you know, it was highlighted, and we would, 3 or 4 of us would try to put our heads together to make sure it was accurate as possible. So I don't know if that helps, but at least it kind of gives some background onto how much time and effort we've all spent to make sure that this is an accurate reflection of exactly what happened in the work group. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. That was excellent background, and just shows, you know, all the work that you and Sarah put in for the Work Track 1, and, of course, all the other work track leaders for the other work tracks. So you did a much better job explaining it than I did, so thank you. Someone is still a lot of noise in the background. I think it. We could just mute that line. That would be great.
Steve, do you see my hand or not?
I hear your voice, Caboose. I thought that hand.
No, do you see my hand, please?
I see it now. I thought, yes.
But why you see it now? Because this was some few minutes ago. I think the system does not show exactly when the person wished to speak. What is the problem in the system? It doesn't show that.
Yeah, I apologize, Caboose. I thought it was an old hand. Please, go ahead.
Yeah. I understand that. Either we just making compilation, or we make compilation with some comments, edits, paraphrasing, clarification added, emphasis added. So we should be quite clear. If it is on the compilation without anything, I have no difficulty. If we add something, we should say clarification added. Emphasis is added. Additional information is added. So we know that this coming from the editors of this compilation. That is what, that was my suggestion last time. Thank you very much. Part of it has been implemented. I see now a lot of cross-reference to the book track. But when we go to the text, you would like to know it is purely compilation without adding anything, or whenever we add, we describe that. Emphasis is added. Clarification is added, so on and so forth. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Cavus. We will take that back and see what we can do. Are there any other comments on up to that, the recommendations, up through the recommendations of 1.4.1? Okay, looking to see the hands. I don't see any hands. Okay, can we move on then to part D? Actually, sorry, move to the past page. It was my scrolling, so I should have moved myself there. I apologize. Part D says, were there any other options that we considered other than an applicant guidebook and work track one early on decided that the guidebook was the way to go. So there were no other options that were considered. And then there's a series of, thank you. To the next page, whether there was any specific questions that the work track had with regards to this particular section, and there were no additional questions. So at this point, I just want to stop for a second and just make the point that when we draft the preamble to this report, we are going to make it clear that we are seeking comment on all of the recommendations and the contents that are in this report. So we're not going to specifically call out questions anymore, which says, do you agree with these recommendations? It should be implied that, of course, we are seeking comment on all of the recommendations that are being made. We're just not going to phrase it as a very specific question. I hope that makes sense. So even though it says that there's no specific questions, the working group is seeking feedback, obviously, on all of the recommendations that are proposed in this report. Okay, I see Cheryl, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Jeff. Cheryl, again, for the record, I was busy typing, but I just wanted to assure everybody that we are going to be taking all of your input on this document into consideration, but as we asked last time, if it is at all possible, could you use this exercise as we go through it in full group like this as a sanity checking? In other words, is there some omission or oversight or, heaven forbid, hopefully not, a misstatement that the work track leaders have not noticed themselves? Yes, this is paraphrasing and using excerpts where appropriate, as Krista outlined very, very clearly. But if we could just draw you out on oversights and issues that we need to pick up on, that would be terrific. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Sorry about that. I was trying to unmute. It took me a little bit longer than I thought. So if we go on to the next section, and please, if you see anyone with their hand raised, please interrupt. The next section is the deliberation. Sorry, I meant section F, the deliberation section. I'm not going to go through that, but it just really goes into all of the discussions that took place, what we asked in the community comment. And so this is pretty common in all of the deliberation sections for all of the different issues. So it's very important to read through that to make sure that all of the positions that were expressed are contained in there. this section was not a very controversial section, so it's not one where there's going to be a lot of new materials in that deliberation section. Just reading onto the chat, let's see. Anne asks, at Cheryl, just want to make sure that staff is accumulating my written comments regarding dependencies so that I don't have to keep track of myself and reiterate them all later. Anne, yes, we are keeping track of all of them. If you could just remember to, we'll try to do our best, but if you can remember to bring it up during the conversation on that section, that will help us so we can discuss as a group whether those are dependencies we should be noting or not. I think it's Christopher Wilkinson.
Jeff, Cheryl here jumping in. I think because Anne did make comment on 1.4.1F, she was just wanting to make sure that this was being picked up at this time in terms of the notes. So her suggestion, this is one of those texts where, as there was no consensus call, she suggested a couple of alternatives, that active members of the WorkTrack commented that, or WorkTrack members observed that. And I think that's the type of language that we will probably look at repeating throughout the document where relevant. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Cheryl, and excellent comment, Anne. We will do that. We'll try to do that throughout the document. Obviously, the sections that have already come out, we'll go back and do that with as well. Okay. Anne then asks, what do you mean by discuss them all later and why later? I meant later in this call. I remember there was a recommendation, I think, on 1.4.3 that you had. That's the one that caught my eye. So that's what I meant, Anne. I apologize. I forgot that there was one on 1.4.1. Okay. Moving on to the next section, 1.4.2. Turn the page there. Okay. This section deals with communications, and it was also WorkTrack 1. There were three relevant implementation guidelines in the 2007 final report, and they include now I'm paraphrasing what it says there, but essentially ICANN communicating frequently with the applicant and also with the public forum or public comment forum, ICANN establishing a capacity building and support mechanism. And then ICANN putting in place systems that could provide information about the process in major languages other than English, for example, in the six working languages of the United Nations. So how was that implemented in 2012? There was a new GTLD communications plan, which we have a reference to, which was authorized by the ICANN board to serve as the basis for global outreach. And then there was a customer portal, which was a custom-made customer portal where they employed methods such as webinars, roadshows, where they facilitated communications between the applicants and ICANN, and then they also had webinars, roadshows, sessions at ICANN meetings and elsewhere to encourage dialogue between the community. Just reading on to the chat. Sorry. Caboose, you have your hand raised?
Yes, my hand is up since 7 minutes ago. Do you
Sorry,
see that
you
see? On your system? You only don't see that on the system. Please.
Caboose, Cheryl here. We see it on the system, but we also don't see your hand ever going down. So perhaps you could forgive us if Jeff didn't notice that you took your hand down. I didn't notice that either. And then put your hand back up again. You may also want to remind us in chat if you've put up a new hand and you think we've missed it. But you are next. Go ahead.
Yeah. Cheryl, whenever you speak, there is some distortion on your system. Is it your voice system which has some difficulty? Because when Steve speaks, it's quite clear. When you speak, I see some distortion. I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but that is something that I cannot follow exactly. your line is not in a good in a good way to understand. Now, coming to the hand raising, yes, I raised the hand and I checked to see whether it is okay or not. I was referring to the part that it is said that active members of the work track commented. I don't agree to talk about active member and passive member. So this sort of the discrimination should disappear totally. The meeting noted, or the members noted, or observed, and so on, but not active and passive. Thank you. Now the hand is down.
Okay, thank you, Cavus. So we will note that as well and understand. I think the point raised there was that it was discussed within Work Track 1, and so we will not use terms like active or passive. Okay, so moving on to the next section of how what are the preliminary recommendations, guidelines. And so what we say there is that we do not envision developing additional policy recommendations to communications, but we did, it's Work Track 1, generally agreed on a number of specific implementation guidelines to help improve the reach, timeliness, and accessibility of the communication strategy for the new GTLD program. And if you scroll down, it talks about what these specific recommendations are. They are grouped into different categories of improvements, which I'm not going to read every one, but just give everyone a minute to just look that over to see if there are any questions on that. And if I can, could Steve or Emily or Julie could flip to the next page. Okay, are there any questions on this content here? Cavus, I see you have a new hand.
Yes, is it possible you do not kindly refer to next page or previous page, but to the paragraph number, paragraph 2, paragraph 5, paragraph 4, 1 each, rather than pages? Thank you.
Okay, will do, Cavus, thank you. Donna, please.
Thanks, Jeff. Donna Austin from Newstar for the record. So this may mean my question might be because I've forgotten the conversation, but there doesn't seem to be anything in this recommendation to address the need for a global communications effort. I know there's some mention about the GSE team, but I thought that there had been some discussion about the need for a broader global communications campaign. Now, it might be that I'm getting confused with something else, but it seemed to be that this would be the place where that type of recommendation would be. So I apologize if I'm, you know, confused with some other conversation we've had, but I thought that would have appeared here if it was going to appear anywhere. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. I think that, and then I'll ask Krista, but if it's my recollection that there's a bullet there that talks about a reference to Section 1.5.4, which deals with applicant support, it is possible when we get to that section and it's released that we can cross-reference a little bit better, that it applies more for the whole program. But that, I think, you're right, we did have those discussions, but I think it was more in connection with applicant support. But let me see if Krista or anyone from Work Track 1, Krista or Sarah, has anything to add on that. Krista, please.
Hi, Jeff. It's Krista Taylor for the record. It does ring a bell, but I think it was more focused on applicant support. But I'll go back and review it to make sure that it is covered properly, and also to make sure that if it refers to 1.5.4, that it also ties in. So I'll see if there's an overlap, and if not, I'll make sure that we add it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Cavus, I think that's a new hand, or
yes, a new hand. What do we mean by global communication efforts? What do you want to say that? You want to be ITUs, to be connected, non-connected? Or connect everybody? What is global communication efforts? What is the sense of that? Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. Krista, do you want to jump in? Do you want me to answer that? Either way is fine. Krista?
You can do a first go at it.
Okay. Yeah, so, Cavus, here global communications means exactly that in the generalized sense. So a worldwide plan to ensure that internationally it is known that we are having this program. We are not talking about global communications in the regulatory sense, but just a worldwide plan, outreach plan to discuss the program, to let the world know that this program has again started and what the parameters are of this program. So it's in its very generalized sense. Krista, if you want to add anything to that?
No, I'm pretty good, and you can see how it ties into the applicant support program where we, you know, a lot more focus on outreach was discussed. So thanks.
Thanks, Krista. Cavus, you okay with that? Okay. Yes, I see. Thanks. Okay. For this section, they're in section D now. We are on, there's no other options that we considered. And the specific questions that we're seeking feedback on, which is section E, was some of them actually come from the initial report of the CCT review team, especially the first one, which is, you know, we're looking for criteria or metrics for determining what would be success for any aspects of the communications policy, program. One of the issues we had was because we had no metrics and we didn't define success up front, there was no way for us to really analyze whether the communication program was successful or not. We talk about the communications period. It was a specific defined period in the 2012 round. It was 6 months, and we're asking the question, was this the right amount of time? Is it too long, too short? And then we say, now this is really looking for feedback on this question to make sure it's understood. But in this question, we are saying that if we go to some sort of regular intervals for the launch of new GTLDs, let's say, for as an example, once every year we launch the program, are we going to need as long of a communications period as we are going to have for this next round, or can those communication periods be shorter? That's really the heart of this question. So are we saying that we need a constant communications period of, let's say, 6 months for every single round we do going forward? Hopefully that makes sense. Krista, you have your hand raised. I don't know if that's the old hand. Okay, I guess that's an old hand. I'm just going to look at the chat right now. There's discussion of fees. Sorry, Cheryl, I see it says this is what one of the two options offers. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, that's back on the old question. And Karen has said, I believe it is mentioned in the fees section as a use of excess fees. I'm not sure what that was referring to. Sorry, I'm a little bit behind on the chat. Cavus is saying it depends on the how often, I guess, the round is. So I guess that's a good point, Cavus. If we do a round every year, then 6 months might be a long period of time, too long. But if we only do it once every 3 years, then maybe 6 months is not as long or too long. But I think that's a good comment. And I think that's certainly something, Cavus, that we, the kind of feedback we're looking for when we put this out for public comment. Christopher Wilkinson lost sound. Can I just make sure that everybody else has sound?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to deliberations, again, this is Section F. Again, this just goes over the discussions that took place. It's an important section, but one that we're not going to go through. And Donna has her hand up. Sorry, Donna.
That's okay. Thanks, Steph. Donna Austin from NewStar. I just wanted to go back to the comment that Karen had in the chat where she said the communication also picked up in the fees discussion, excess fees discussion. So I think, and this is part of my confusion too, I think there's two types of communications here. One is what we're talking about now, which is more about the communication of upcoming application processes. And then I think the one that was discussed in the excess fees and that has been discussed within the registry stakeholder group on a number of occasions is more about a communication, an awareness campaign about new GTLDs being available. So I think there's a distinction here between the two types of communication efforts. So I just wanted to flag that. I think Karen's right. I think where the conversation might have happened about the, you know, an awareness campaign that these new GTLDs actually exist, and, you know, you can register a name in them, is a little bit different to what we're discussing in this piece here. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. And if I can ask a favor of you and Karen to make sure you communicate with Krista and Sarah to make sure that we are able to define or delineate that as well as you just put it, and as Krista says, it is already captured. Okay, let's just double check, Krista, with Donna and Karen to make sure that we've got everything straight. Okay, are there any other hands up? I'll take a quick look. Nope. Okay. If we go to the next page, please. Okay, that's more deliberations. Sorry, can we go to the, maybe it's on the stage. Yep, okay, 1.4.3. And I think, Anne, this is where you had your comment, or did you have a comment on this section? Just check Gerald and Anne to see if I'm not, because I have not had a chance to really digest any comments from earlier. Okay. I'll take that as it relates to the next section. So 1.4.3 is on the actual systems that ICANN used for the submission of applications and the communications with applicants on clarifying questions and other aspects. And so for that, there was no quote policy, but there was implementation guidance. And I noticed a typo there that I need to fix. But it says that ICANN may put in place systems that could provide information about the GTLD process in the major languages, including the languages of the United Nations. Other than that implementation guidelines, there is no guidance specifically related to the technical systems that were used. So how did ICANN implement this implementation guidance? They developed a applicant-facing customized system to facilitate the submission and communications. They had a system called TAS. Cavus, the technical system is the actual portal that was used to submit the application and the portal that was used to collect the financial information, the system that was used to ask clarifying questions. That's what we mean by the technical system. So not the people, but the technology that they used. And so there was a system called TAS, the TLD application system, which was a customized solution for the last round. There was also a separate customer portal that was used by applicants to submit questions and receive responses. And there was also in that portal, I think, was also may have been used to submit public comments. There were additional systems that were developed to support other aspects of the program. There was a digital archery system, which was never really used because that program was canceled. There was a centralized zone data service that was on an old system, but since has moved over, I believe. And then there's, of course, the application comments forum. So these are all the systems that were used. If we forgot any, please let us know and we'll include those. But these are what ICANN used throughout the process. Kavush says that these are not technical, but communication systems or communication channels. Okay, thank you, Kavush. And Krista says, okay, this is on the, application fee section. So this is going back to the last question. So what are the recommendations here? I'm scrolling to see if there's any questions. Let me look really quick. Nope. Okay, so what are the recommendations here? There's a few of them. One is to make sure that there's enough time provided for the development and testing of the system before it's actually deployed. One of the issues from the last round was that they released the system. They had just developed it and released it pretty quickly, and it didn't undergo extensive quality assurance testing, user interface testing, and penetration testing to ensure that it was stable and secure. So that's one of our recommendations. Obviously, security is pretty high up on everyone's list. And with the issues that ICANN had with the portal, the so-called glitch, we're obviously recommending that data is properly protected and kept confidential where appropriate. Looking at the chat real quick, Anne says, sorry, Jeff, I'm working with only one screen. The comment, I think, on the first section regarding the applicant guidebook and AD dependencies. Oh, okay, thanks, Anne. Going back, Anne, I'll try to come back to that then because we may have missed it. But going back to these recommendations here in 1.4.3, we're saying that there should be a single login for the different systems. In 2012, applicants remember there were two different systems, and it was hard to keep them straight. We're hoping that ICANN could combine these systems into one, so you didn't have to have different passwords and usernames. ICANN should be transparent and make any changes that impact applicants or the application system. And if there is a security breach, and ICANN should immediately notify impacted parties. We're recommending that ICANN should offer prospective end users with the opportunity to beta test the systems. We know that in the last round, ICANN was not willing to do that because it believed that it would be giving some applicants an unfair advantage over others if it had invited a few users to come in and test. I think we can set up something like an operational test and evaluation environment, which will allow all users to come in and test and not give anyone an unfair advantage. And I do think that the system would certainly benefit from testing by those that are intending to use it. As stated in Section 1.4.1, of course, any agreements or terms of use for systems access, including any that are to be clicked through, should be finalized in advance and included in the applicant guidebook with the goal of minimizing obstacles and or legal burdens on applicants. There was additional specific implementation guidance that members of the work track discussed, and they include those specific bullets that are listed below, really detailed recommendations. I'm not going to go through them all because that would take a really long time, but are there any questions or comments on those? I'll give everyone a second to read through that. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Sorry. Oh, Caboose, yes, there you go.
Yes, what do you mean by applicant should be able to access live support? Do you mean that there is a continuous 24/7, 365 live channel system communication? What do you mean by access to live support? Do you mean physical support? Do you mean what? What is live support? Thank you.
Krista, would you like to take that?
Hi, it's Krista for the record. I believe, and I will have to go back and check, it was, excuse me, losing my voice now. It was like an online chat kind of communication thing, where if you had a quick question, you could say, speak to somebody on whatever topic it is to get a quick answer. Does that help?
Thank you. Thanks, Krista. And Michelle put in the chat an interactive system. I'm not seeing Caboose. Do you have, let me just double check. Okay, I guess that answered his question. Any other questions on this particular section, on Section C, the recommendations? Okay, I'm not seeing any. That's great. Just seeing if there's anything that we should point out here. Okay. Were there any other options? Section D under consideration? No. And then were there any specific questions that we're looking for feedback on? Again, this topic was pretty non-controversial. And so there's nothing other than just looking for feedback on what we're recommending. So there's no additional questions that we have. And then deliberations, which continues on page 12, talks about where we got a lot of this information and a little bit more background on the systems that were actually used by ICANN. We got a lot of this information from the program implementation report, I believe, if I've got the title of that report, that ICANN did after a couple of years ago after the program. Any other questions on Section 1.4.3? Okay, we have a chat comment from Christopher Wilkinson in Bullet 5 on page 11, if we can go back to that real quick. Prospective end users actually refers to prospective applicants, and ICANN speak end users usually refer to registrants or internet users. So let's go to that bullet here that says that ICANN organizations should offer prospective end users. So actually, Christopher, we did not use, and I'll have Krista confirm or let me know if I'm wrong, we did not use the term prospective applicants because some of these systems actually are for submitting public comments or for submitting objections or for submitting other aspects. And so we didn't want to say registrants because it's not just for applicants, sorry. So we tried to use a broader term. So I think that it was intentional there that we did not use the term applicant. I hope that makes sense. Not seeing any further comment from Christopher. Okay, so yes. Okay. Cheryl, we have now walked through Section 1.4. I don't know if we want to go back to the previous one, which I'm not sure we got all the way through, which was Section 1.2.
Jeff, Cheryl here for the record. I think if we did go back and follow towards the end, we hadn't gone through universal acceptance in the detail we should do, etc. So, yes, if we can go back to the sections 1.2 that we didn't complete last week, I think that would be a very good use of our time.
Great. I know that Steve has his hand up, so Steve, please.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. This is Steve. I just want to note that I moved the slides back to section 1.4.1, just in case you want to cover the points that Anne raised in her email. While you do that, I can also work in the background to get section 1.2 loaded. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Steve, and that's a good idea. So if we can, I don't have Anne's email handy, but Anne, do you want to quickly just go over the comments you made if you're in a place you can do that?
I'm sorry, Jeff, it's Anne. Did you ask me if I wanted to do that? Or I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you wanted to go through the comments you made in the email you sent before this call.
Oh, yeah, very quickly. I just commented about how we are phrasing the working or the work track agreed. And I think that was discussed earlier on this call because Cavus had expressed a preference for not making any reference to, you know, active or passive members of the work group and expressed a preference for the second formulation. And I'm actually just fine with that, and I think you confirmed that. And then the second thing that I raised was this thing, but when I was thinking about the applicant guidebook itself and that whole section on applicant guidebook, you know, in work track 4, we have said, many of us have said, I don't know whether to call it, you know, I guess I really don't know that we can call it agreement book, but we said, hey, you know, this business of strings that are very high risk on the name collision side, you know, if it comes to pass that there's a group of strings that fit in that category, they should be identified early on as do not apply and save applicants from, you know, going through the whole application process and developing their business model and trying to figure out if it works financially and paying $185,000 or more. And so my only thought on dependencies was that in terms of the applicant guidebook, if we actually were to develop, you know, coming out of those various recommendations with the work track 4 ultimately and the work that the SAC's doing on name collisions, you might actually end up with a pre-qualification stage in the applicant guidebook where you didn't have to put it in full application, but you could suggest a string and have a, you know, it just seemed like a dependency because of what's going on in the community with that study. So that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Kind of a gut reaction from me is, so right now there's only a proposal to do a study. There's no study that actually has been approved. And, of course, the SAC is taking comments on that. I'm not sure that that would be a dependency to finalization of the guidebook. We may want to include something like that if it was definitive that they were doing a study and what they were doing. That might fit more under things like reserved names. But I think that at this point, because it's not definite, we might just want to wait for people to put comments in on that. And this is just off the top of my head, I'm a little reluctant to call it a dependency at this point.
Well, I was just thinking, Jeff, and this is Anne again for the record, that I probably wouldn't be bringing it up were it not for the fact that when we got to the work track 4 part of the report, you're definitely going to see that do not reply, right? I mean, you and Cheryl have been pretty active on those calls, do not apply. That's in the, you know, the bullet points that were on our slides in work track 4. So, you know, maybe think of it in terms of the dependency that, I mean, maybe you don't even want to
mention the ESSEC NCAP, although, you know, all the comments say, please, you know, tell us early on if there's a string that nobody should be applying for. But if it could somehow be, we could put a pin in it till we see our language from Work Track 4, maybe we want to talk about that dependency rather than the ESSEC dependency, because how do you save people from spending $185,000 to go through the whole application process for whatever the fee is going to be in the next round, and then have somebody tell them, you know, this is a do not apply. So, and I think we just need to put a pin in that until we see what Work Track 4 language is.
Okay, thanks, Anne. I think that's a good suggestion. So we'll put the pin in that, as you said, and we will certainly look to put it into places where we, as a group, think that those dependencies lie. So we'll put that as a to-do item, and we'll look at the Work Track 4 language. Looking back at the chat, Cavoose, you have your hand up. So, Cavoose, is it on this section?
Yes, it is. Okay. This section and other section. I understand that there was very rarely a full agreement of anything, but there was some, as mentioned here, broad agreement or general agreement. I would like to know how you want to express that. Do you want to say that, as is mentioned here, work track members observe that? You say that, you want to say that the general understanding of the work track was, what is the expression to indicate areas that there was no consensus, areas that even there was no broad, because when you say broad, it's difficult what the broad means. What is the percentage or criteria of the broad? So how you want to say that? You want to say that the general understanding of the group was that, or the understanding of the group was that, or it was understood that. So this is very important in this area and other area. Thank you.
Good question, Cruz. Thank you. Good question. Let me throw that question out to the Work Track leaders to see if they have any thoughts on that, or I can. We've been using different terminology this week, using things like general understanding. We do use terms like general agreement, but does anybody from the Work Track leaders want to offer their thoughts on that? Steve, please.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve from staff, and I'll take a first cut at this one. So I don't know that we're operating on formal definitions for general agreement or broad agreement. I think what is important to point out is that there has not been formal consensus calls taken on any of these recommendations. So I guess I just want to make sure that we have that as a context for as we're looking at this report. Within the GNSS operating procedures, which I'll post a link to in a section, it's under section 3.6. It actually defines what the standards are for full consensus, and the other designations. So before we complete our final report and to be included in the final report, that's where we'd have to actually define those consensus levels. So the idea for the initial report is that we'll have a preamble essentially that says that no consensus calls were taken on this report, to hopefully make sure that the readers of the report know that the findings in this report have not gone through that formal consensus call process. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. But also, just to add to that, where we do use terms in this report, like there's general agreement, we do want to emphasize that, you know, there was general agreement that, you know, for things like the guidebook and communications, you know, everyone in the room and on the emails was expressing their support for it. So we don't want to make it sound like these are just observations and just being thrown out. for places where we do say there's general agreement, we actually think, again, no formal consensus call is taken, but we do think that the group is leaning towards those types of recommendations. In other places, we say that the work track is considering proposing this. And but Anne, you have your hand raised, so please, Anne, go ahead.
Under the PDP manual and then GNSO operating procedures, initial report is actually supposed to formally include, the words are should include a consensus call. So, you know, the fact that we're not doing that is fine, but I think, you know, we also cannot say, you know, the working group or the work track agreed that, because that, you know, that conveys the idea that you asked for that call, you asked for that agreement. Instead, what it really is it's kind of more the sense of leadership. So you could condition that always on the sense of leadership is that blah, blah, blah. But you can't really say honestly throughout this report that, you know, the working group or the work track agreed, because that's not the way the PDP manual is set up. That's just not the way it works. And here's the problem with it, guys. You didn't say that when you started the PDP, okay? You said that at the, you know, right before you're drafting the initial report. Because so people didn't know during the course of these discussions that that's how this was going to be treated. Nobody knew that. That whole approach was not adopted until you started drafting the initial report. That's why you can't say it.
Yeah, thank you, Anne. I think we've gone over this discussion a number of times, so I'm not going to really want to backtrack, but we will certainly make it very clear that we did not do consensus calls. We're not going to use terms as weak as observed, because I think there was a sense of the group on a number of these recommendations. So we will for the next call or over email, we'll come back with a concrete recommendation of something that's in between agreement and observation, something that's strong enough to actually convey that it was the sense of the group, but something not as strong as saying that there were formal consensus calls that were taken. So let us come back on that.
Jeff, I'm sorry. It's Anne again, but the question is not whether or not formal consensus calls were taken, because you've already agreed that has to be in the introduction. The question is what you can say about what was and was not agreed when the folks who are participating on the calls did not understand that there would be a report made without one of the required elements of an initial report, and that there would be statements that there was agreement on these points. That was not understood by participants. And that's why you need to find better language.
Thank you, Anne. I think that was my proposal, that we will come back with some language that's in between that conveys it was a sense of the group, but also this is not as strong as saying that there was consensus or any kind of formal agreement. But I think the work track have worked very hard on trying to get a sense of the group without doing formal consensus calls. And I think for most of these items, judging from the even the lack of comments on this call, the lack of additional comments on the email lists from what the work tracks have been working on, I think the work track leaders were pretty faithful to the notion of getting a sense of the group. So I don't want this report to come out and make it sound like these are just general observations which I think will undermine the quality and work of our work track leaders. So like I said, Anne, we'll come back and we'll suggest some language that we all can use and hopefully get agreement from
Jeff, you have Kavuz's hand up again, and if you could put me in the queue, my connectivity is such, Cheryl here, that I'm not even able to put my hand up at this stage.
Okay, so I'll go to Kavuz, then to Cheryl, and then Jim has a question in the chat, which I think is important. So Kavuz, please.
Yes, my hand is down now because it was up, it is down, and I put my suggestion in the chat. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kavuz. Suggestion is to use the term the general understanding of the group or general feeling of the group. Thanks, Kavuz. Those are good suggestions. Let the leadership team take that back, and we'll discuss it and come back to you all with a proposal. Cheryl.
Thank you, Jeff. I hear and understand Anne's point, but I also am wondering if we, you know, took a straw polling of this group. We have, what, 23 attendees here. Oh, it was last time I was connected. I've now dropped the connection totally, sorry. Is there anyone else who has such significant problems with the language? Yeah. If there is, then that's fine. Perhaps one way forward would be then to take, for example, the paragraph that was on screen when I was last in the WebEx meeting with you, which used the language of in general agreement and started off with there were some WorkTrack members that. I think in that paragraph there must have been three, if not four, different ways of presenting the feel of the WorkTrack leaders as to what the current thinking of their WorkTrack was. How about, if needs be, Jeff, we rather than have our WorkTrack leaders relitigate language that they're already happy with, to be honest, we put that paragraph out as an example to the list, and then we can get suggestions just like we just got from Kavuz. And the rank and file of the work of the PDP group can have at the language, and perhaps they could do that within the next, say, 36 to 48 hours. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Cheryl. So just to restate, your proposal is to put this out to the list with examples, even if it's just that one paragraph, but certain examples of how we've stated this general type of agreement, and then ask for input from the group as to what they're comfortable with. I think that's a good approach. If we can do that shortly after this call, then when they say shortly after this call, I mean within the next 24 hours, if we can get something like that out so we can get feedback on and then have the leadership discuss those proposals, I think that's a great idea. I'm going to come back to Jim's question in a second. Christopher Wilkinson says, I feel quite neutral about discussion of this language, but on the strength of the arguments presented, I would support Anne's comments. Okay. Any other comments or questions on that particular point? Well, through the list.
Jeff, it's Donna. I don't know if you can see my hand or not.
I do now. Thank you, Donna. Please.
Thanks, Jeff. So it's Donna Austin from New Start. So, and I take on board what you're saying, but I think we also need to appreciate that, you know, this has been a bit of a dynamic effort with a lot of different moving parts. So I think it's acceptable that we try to be a little bit flexible in how we think about what the intent of this report is. And I think we also need to keep in mind that I understand that maybe there wasn't general agreement, but this report has been put together based on going back through the CC1 comments, the CC2 comments, the discussions that were had on a particular topic. You know, staff have actually gone back, as I understand it, have gone back through the transcript or the notes, and I think the WorkTrack leaders have done the same thing. So I accept that this isn't necessarily the way that things have been done in the past, but I think we need to be a little bit flexible in understanding some of the challenges that having, you know, so many topics to consider, that the leadership team is looking for innovative ways to deal with it. So to that end, if we could, you know, be a little bit open-minded and perhaps not so entrenched in what we've done in the past, understanding that we will get to the, you know, the final report and those consensus calls will happen along the way, but it's just not being done at this point in time. But I personally don't really have a problem with, you know, the general agreement or, you know, the assessment in general or something like that. So I'm not as worried about that. I'm a little bit more worried about people trying to be a little bit flexible and being appreciative of the work that's been put into this and how this report has been put together and the review and the looking back that's been done to put it together. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Donna. I'm just appreciate those comments. We have a time check now. We have a couple minutes left. I want to make sure we cover Jim's question, and I think that relates to Jim's earlier question on the future calls. So as you've noticed, and as Jim said, there's been only three sections that have been sent around. We do have more sections that are getting closer to completion, and I suspect the frequency of these sections coming out to you all are going to be increased. So be prepared over the next several days that you will get several different sections that we have been hard at work on, making sure that they are accurate, making sure that we're taking into consideration these comments during these calls, and also making sure that there's citations and things in there. So over the next few days, week or so, you will be getting a number of additional sections, and it relates to the scheduling of a couple calls in May. We do think that with the pace that it's moving and with making sure that we are able to get working group comments, that we're going to need those first 2 weeks to finalize discussions on this initial report. And so we've scheduled two additional meetings for the first 2 weeks of May, so like essentially for the next 3 weeks, to finalize that, because yes, it's our intention to make sure that the entire working group sees all of the sections and has an opportunity to comment before it goes out for overall public comment. So Jim, that relates to both the questions that you asked. Just double check in the chat to see if there's any additional timeline questions. So, okay. Then I know Steve wants to say a quick word on the systems and WebEx, Adobe Connect, and so I will turn it over to Steve if you can give us a quick update. I think it was Steve, if not Julie.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve. I'll be honest, I didn't expect to be speaking now, but I think there was a question early on in the meeting about collaboration systems and the future, or I guess what systems we might be using in the near future, given the challenges that some of us are experiencing with WebEx right now. So there was a blog post put out on the 20th, actually, by Ashwin. He's the ICANN's SVP of Engineering and Chief Innovation Officer, I want to say. But I believe the plan is to start rolling out testing of Adobe Connect instances again on the 3rd of May. So I think we can expect to see that we'll get a chance to work back in our familiar system. And the idea is that the system has been hardened. It's been had fixes done in regards to the security issues. And so that'll be our test bed to make sure that those systems issues are in fact solved. So I'll drop the link in there. I'm sure many of you already seen the blog post, but you'll get a chance to read it in its entirety here. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Any questions on that? Okay. The last thing, while I check to see if there's any other AOV, is that Cheryl and I and ICANN staff were on a call about 5 hours ago with the other PDP leaders and GNSO Council leadership on the scheduling for ICANN 62 in Panama. And it looks like we are going to have three sessions for work tracks 1 through 4. Two of the sessions will likely be on the first day, so on Monday. And the last session, the third session, will likely be on the last day, on Thursday. I know that many of you either come in late or travel or leave early, but I think with all of the requirements and wanting to have work track 5 on a different day where it's non-conflicted and making sure that we had some time in between the three scheduled meetings to regroup and to make sure that we could have a productive third session, we are leaning towards having that time period. Each session, as Heather says, is about 90 minutes, and I think it'll be very productive for us to have those three sessions. And stay tuned. You'll likely see this draft schedule going out to the SOAC leadership, and I just wanted to give everyone a heads up before you start planning your trips if you haven't done that. So just going back to chat, any questions on that, comments? Scroll down here, make sure there's none. Is there any other business?
Jeff, Cheryl here. Just in closing, can I put on the record my thanks? This was a call that I was meant to run because of the unearthly hour that you're connecting to this call from London. Sorry my voice wasn't up to it, but thanks very much. I just wanted to put that thanks on the record. We do share and play well with each other, but you've gone above and beyond the call of duty today. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. I mean, I think the whole leadership team is doing a great job, and the work track leaders have been working incredibly hard behind the scenes and on this report. So it's everyone. Thanks to the whole team. And with that, thank you, everyone. And we will look out for emails and talk to everyone next Monday. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.